He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But like, if they like, all right, if you want to go back to the thing that you were trying to do, which is like a cool concept, like you said, like the mm-hmm. you know, honoring the players who, you know, accomplish enough in your jersey to retire their number. Okay, do a Jerry West one now. And you like those jerseys that Jerry West wore are iconic. Like yeah. they were the true like four and blue and gold. Like it was just mm-hmm. like they were just like these gorgeous things. The Lakers logo to it had like a little bit more cursive to it. Mm-hmm. It was just so smooth. And you could totally have gone back to that. You could have done a retro thing. You could have honored Jerry West with them. But also Jeannie hates Jerry West and she didn't really want to acknowledge that he died. And so like, it's just like, there's just so much mess. It just feels really kind of jumbled and disorganized. And yeah. you look at the offseason that the Lakers just had where they were literally unable to add a professional basketball player, a current professional basketball player to their roster. That's a first in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, like even in the last 3 years to where, you know, maybe you're not 100% sold in on the decisions that they made, they were able to make some decisions, you know,
yeah.
in this summer. Mm-hmm. Crickets, you know, and I think what's even more frustrating about it is, you know, we're coming off of the Olympics in which LeBron looked phenomenal. Anthony Davis yeah. looked phenomenal.
Incredible.
Yeah. And like he's playing in an ancillary role, secondary role, you know, but he looked great in that role playing alongside Bam and like, you know, working together to clean up some of the perimeter mistakes and then picking his spots on the offensive end. LeBron looked phenomenal, you know, running that pick and roll with Steph, either as the screener or the ball handler. And you know, coming off of what looked like two of the five best players in the world, winning a gold medal, now they have to come back to this franchise to where
yeah
one we don't have a roster that's going to compete for a championship. We don't even know if we have a roster that's going to compete for a playoff spot in such a deep and crowded Western Conference, and we have to play with this team in this jersey, you know,
in this jersey. It like struck me. I don't know. There's a comedian, Brian Regan, who has a great bit about Dora the Explorer. He has a great riff about Dora the Explorer. And in it, he talks about specifically the person who wrote the I'm a Map song or I'm the Map and how like it. So they basically like they show up and they're planning out this show and everybody's put in weeks and months and however long to develop all of the concepts to this thing. And they go to Bill over there. Hey, Bill, did you work on the map song? And he's like, yeah, totally, totally. I'm the map. And it's like, I just feel like with like this, you know, somebody was put in charge of this jersey design. And it was like, hey, did you work on that jersey? Are we ready to go? Like, but Nike's asking, they've been asking for the last month. And it's like, yeah. I'm the map. It's just not what is expected of a brand that, like, again, it'd be one thing. Like, I know people get on me for being too hard on the Lakers, you know, and that's fine. Like, you know, people want to hear nice things said about their sports team to make them feel good on their way to work. And that's perfectly fine. And one of the things that I get asked about a lot is like, why do I hold the Lakers to a higher standard than these other organizations? And it's like, well, one, it's the same exact thing my parents used to tell me when I was a kid. Hey, so-and-so is jumping off of the thing over there. Why can't I? And it's like, I'm not their dad, you know? And then two, the Lakers kind of, they profit off of the concept of Lakers exceptionalism. Mm-hmm. And this thought that, like, you know, they are exceptional. Now it's turned into they are anybody who wears Lakers stuff is therefore exceptional. But like when I was growing up, the expectation was exceptional. And you know, this is the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, if like the Celtics jersey turned out really shitty, and it did, it's really ugly. I'll pull it up while you talk next. But like I was like, you know, if the Celtics or one of these other organizations that I hold in lower regard was to put out consistently poor products in the way that the Lakers have, both on the court and in terms of branding, and like their social media is kind mm-hmm. of boring too. Like just overall, like this just kind of stale franchise, you can't call yourself exceptional while you are so clearly falling behind everybody else. And that, like, this is something that, like, you know, Jeannie took over because she said Jim was ruining the Lakers image. And like, to be fair to Jeannie, the Lakers won a championship and you know, that always needs to be pointed out, but I don't know. I don't remember feeling this disappointed in the Lakers, even while Jim was winning like 17 games a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During that time, it made sense why they were losing that often.
It was for a reason.
There was clear, objective, logical reasons why the team was awful. Right now, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. There is no excuse for you to be in the play-in every season. There is no excuse for you to, you know, have to extend your aging superstars out to 35 to 40 minutes a game when you have, like, you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis.
Yeah, the advantage,
like,
is there.
Yep. Like, you should be able to build a roster around them. You should be able to bring in free agents in the offseason. You should be able to make the appropriate trades to balance out the top heavy portion of your roster with pieces that actually make sense. You know, I don't want to like put all of the blame on Jeannie, but I mean, actually you probably can still, because like a lot of it's Rob Pelinka as well.
And she hired him.
Yeah. She put him there. But still, like, you know, when the team was awful, we understood why the team was awful. Like, it was a transitional period between from one superstar bridging the gap to the next one, or the one superstar was aging, coming off of a horrific injury. Like, we understood it. They gave mm-hmm. Kobe his money. They didn't have the room to build a team around him. Once he left, they needed to figure something out. Right now, LeBron James is still one of the 10 best players in the NBA. And when you have one of the 10 best players in the NBA on your team historically, you shouldn't finish like lower than the top four in your conference. That's not to say like you should win a title every year, because obviously that's not what's going to happen. There are a number of variables that determine who ultimately holds the title at the end of the year, but the way in which, you know, historically the NBA has gone, if you have one of those guys and they have two of them, if you have one of those guys, like,
yeah,
making the postseason should not be in question. And this is a team that would not have made the postseason over the last 2-3 years if the play-in wasn't an option, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about when you look back at the Jim Buss era, they were tanking games in order to keep their pick, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, there were years where they needed to finish top or bottom three or top three in the lottery or bottom three, whatever. In order to keep their pick, and that allowed them to draft, you know, a Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, etc. Mm-hmm. The Lakers this year, like, I don't think people have realized this. They have no control over their pick this year. So if they're bad, they don't benefit from being bad. That pick is in Atlanta. Like, it was originally in New Orleans, and then, New Orleans sent it to Atlanta to get DeJounte Murray, ironically, somebody that the Lakers were trying to get last year too. Like, if the Lakers suck, if they bottom out this year, there's no benefit to it. Yeah. You know, there's just nothing. You don't get anything from it. It will just be a wasted season, another wasted season with LeBron, which brings us to, by the way, before we get you out of here, a game that I want to play. To those of you who don't know, one, Magic Johnson doesn't actually send his own tweets.
He sends some of them, but not all of them.
Okay. Well, two, most importantly, and most pertinent to this conversation, Philip was one of the people tasked with, you know, helping Magic send those tweets. You know, we don't have to spend too much time on the process that went into him. Essentially, right, he was like texting you, and then you had to like form the tweet, and then did he double check it, and then you hit send?
Sometimes he would just like write it, send it to me, like, can you get this out for me? Sometimes, yeah. Like, hey, you know, this thing's coming up, just make sure we have something that goes out, you know. Varying levels of approvals, but yeah, essentially.
What would you like if you had to like pre-write a Magic tweet about this Lakers offseason, including these jerseys? You know, he would want to keep it somewhat professional. I don't think he wants to light anybody on fire or anything like that. But like, how, what do you think his message would be about this, summer?
I don't know. So there's a few things that I think Magic would want to touch on. One, you know, free agency.
Fuck Rob Pelinka. No, I mean. Yeah.
That's what he's yelling at the team internally.
It's always, yeah.
Yeah. But one, it's the off season, you know, it's something along the lines of, you know, you, if you want to compete for a championship, you need championship players, like something along those lines.
Yeah. He's so good at tweeting the objectively true thing, like saying the objectively true thing. It would help the Lakers to win a championship this year if they added a professional basketball player to their roster.
Yeah. I always go, what was the one where he was talking about? It was something along the lines of, like, if you want to win, you can't lose. I can't remember exactly how it was worded, like, that's always been my favorite Magic Johnson tweet. Like,
did you help him send that one?
No, I wish. Like, I would have gotten that tattooed on myself if I wrote that.
I would have hoped for like a screenshot of you sending that tweet. Like, just like, I actually, this was me.
Yeah, there's no way anyone wouldn't have. That would be like my Twitter header image. It would be everywhere. Like, no one would be able to exist in the world without knowing that I wrote that.
What do you think Magic would say about these jerseys?
God, it's a little challenging to tap back into like the Magic voice, but like I know it'd be somewhere around the like, you know,
fuck like, Rob Pelinka,
like something around like, you know, like you watch the Lake Show, you don't read it or something like that, like something along those lines, you know, to where, you know, Lake Shows, you know, it's a product of. You know, it's the product that the basketball players present to you. It's not a marketing. It's not a part. It shouldn't be a part of your marketing arms, but it would be something along those lines. You know,
I feel like it would be something like he would say, like, I love you at Genie Bus and I'll always love the at Lakers, but this can't happen, or these jerseys can't, like, these can't be what LeBron at. No, he would at LeBron. These can't be what at LeBron James wears.
Yeah.
In his, you know, as the greatest 40-year-old to ever play basketball.
Yeah. My good friend Dr. Jerry Buss has to be rolling around in his grave right now.
Yeah. Well, Philip, this has been an absolute blast. It's been therapeutic, frankly, because I'm already starting to see kind of like the counterswell of people who are like getting in. They want to get in first on, like, I told you these jerseys were great. Like, cause what's going to happen is, like, we're going to see them and LeBron's going to be wearing them and people are going to convince themselves that the jerseys aren't that bad. And it's like the baseline, the expectation for the Los Angeles Lakers can't be, or has to be, higher than not that bad. Yeah. You know, like,
when you think about it, like, if somebody gave you a Dalton Connect jersey, and it's just like the original classic Lakers, you know, the yellows, right? Like, it, you know, you'd wear it. If somebody gave you this Dalton Connect jersey in the new city, like, there's no way you would wear it. You know, like, maybe if they gave somebody a LeBron, like, just because it's LeBron, they'd wear it. But, like, if you gave somebody, like, you know, the 11th man jersey, like, there's no way they're going to wear it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like this raised the chances of Dalton Connect being a bust. Because he's going to wear these jerseys. I'm like, it makes me nervous.
I don't
know,
man. Like, I don't know much about Dalton Connect because I don't watch a lot of college basketball. But the way the Lakers have been drafting Caucasian men, I have nothing but the highest of hopes for what he's going to bring to the franchise.
It is like, it's a wild market inefficiency that the Lakers have tapped into is like white dudes who can hoop.
it doesn't make any sense because, like, what's old boy who won the dunk contest?
Gosh darn it!
I'm so
Mac
bad
McClung.
With names.
Mac McClung.
Yeah, like, that's a Lakers product. Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
we got Caruso. We got Reeves on the team now. Like Dalton Connect. There was another one a few years ago. To where he had a really good summer league, and then like he came in for a few games and like played decently, and then I think he like was relegated to G League for a while, but even he was like, you know, decent in spots.
Yeah, it might have been Cole Swider or Matt something who hit like what wound up being one of the biggest threes of the year because
only
made a play in.
Or 2 years.
Yeah, ago. Made a play in because like you know, they were one game off, or you know, if they would have lost that game, they wouldn't have.
Yeah, that was a December game, I remember.
Matt. Yeah, I'm forgetting. But all right. Well, yeah, I'm gonna get you out of here. I'm gonna get everybody out of here. Thank you a ton for hopping on. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about before we get you out of here?
You know, I never have anything to plug. I'm not cool enough for anything like that. If you guys care to follow me for like the 6 Laker games, I'll tweet a bet during the season. It's regular Barnett, but
what do you think? Like, do you think you tweet more about the Lakers or like semi-ironically about Russell Westbrook at this point?
It's pretty close.
It's really close.
Yeah,
it's really really close.
And it's not even semi-ironically. It's 100% earnest. I love that man. And I know you want to get us out of here, but I'm so frustrated that he's with the Nuggets because, like, Celtics, Jazz, and the Nuggets are, like, right there in my most hated teams right now. And having, like, you know, what is it? The
Jokic?
I don't know. I can't think of the phrase right now. But having to root for Russell Westbrook on the Nuggets is going to rip me apart for this season. And if they find a way to win a title, I don't know. The Clippers would have felt better to me than the Nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know like most Lakers fans, like the Clippers and thinking about them winning a title is sacrilegious. I do have like a special place in my heart for like Los Angeles or Southern California.
Yeah.
Based basketball players and with Russ, Harden, PG-13 and Kawhi on the same team, them winning it together would have felt nice to me.
That would have been kind of cool.
But the Nuggets, man. Oh my God. Right. But anyway, yeah, it's probably Westbrook on a slight edge right now between who I'm tweeting
it's,
more
it's
about.
It's probably healthier. Like it probably brings you more joy than the Lakers do.
I mean, not these last few years, but
it's a low bar either way. Like it's a really low bar either way.
Yeah.
All right. So that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Sabrina on to talk about the Lakers. We'll get her thoughts on these jerseys as well. And then most importantly, talk to her about the WNBA playoffs, which are getting ready to start on Sunday. Thursday, we have another fun guest lined up as well. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Philip Barnett. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your night. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.